Instruction to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's go, Lord, in prayer one more time. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you just, Father, just help us to be able to listen to what your word says, Father. Be with me as I do Sunday school, Father, Lord, that the Lord words are yours. Father, Lord, you get the glory. First Christ, name I pray. Amen. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Here we have the statement flat out that says, hey, I, Solomon, wrote this stuff. You know, wrote these things down. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told that he wrote over 3,000 proverbs. That's a lot of writing, okay? After my father died, we were going through his stuff, and he had papers and papers of little notes that he would write, little things that he just, you know, observations that he made. Never knew he did that. His entire life, I never knew that he did that. So I don't know if he did it after I left the house or what, but, man, there was old stuff, there was new stuff. It's like, wow, that's a lot of writing. But Solomon did this 3,000 proverbs. 3,000 things that Solomon wrote that were written down and saved for prosperity. Saved for you and I today to read. Okay? Why is that important? God is the preserver of such things. Isn't he? You know? In the Bible, he at one time, when people were gathering this stuff together, moved on these people's, hey, include the book of Proverbs. Okay? And you got to say, well, was there really a book of Proverbs? Yeah. Okay, so Solomon didn't write down and say this is, and then put all this in order. King Hezekiah did at a later date. Okay? King Hezekiah was a godly king. He was a righteous king. He was of the lineage of David and decided that at a young age that he would serve the Lord. And he gathered the writings of Solomon down to make the book. And then later on, when the scribes and the Pharisees, I don't know if the Pharisees were still around, but they were scribes, they gathered this stuff together and said, hey, the Lord has moved it upon our heart to put this in this book and make it what we call canon. Okay, canon means the sacred scriptures. Okay, something that's approved. People try to add books to the Bible, don't they? There's a whole series of books called the Apocrypha. Everybody hear of that? It's a whole section of books that people want to put in there. They want to throw it in there. It's like, well, no, because nobody ever used that as, you know, as that's a basis for the system of doctrine. Nobody ever taught that from the pulpit in the synagogues. Okay, or in the temple. You know, that stuff is just garbage, basically. You know, you want to talk about a perversion of the word. Okay, one of the first instances of the perversion of the word. Well, besides back in Genesis. But it's still one of those things. Did you catch that back in Genesis? Okay, I just wondered. I think people are still asleep because it's like, I'm tired too. That was some workout yesterday. It got hot. It was like, wow. But it was written down. It's for us to learn. And Solomon gives us the idea of why he wrote it down. To know wisdom and instruction. Sorry. He goes back to his pedigree to write this, the authority. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Okay, David, who was a man after God's own heart, except for this thing with Bathsheba. The Bible tells us that. A lot of people want to run down Bible heroes, Bible characters. Okay, yes, they are human. Okay, honest, they're human. Human as you and I. Perhaps some with more of less flaws than you or I have. Okay, I mean, when you start reading the book, the writings of Paul, and he says, you know, oh, wretched man that I am, you know, that which I want to do, I find myself not doing. That which I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And I'm at a war within myself. Okay? For the good that I want to do. Okay? But praise be to God, he has saved my soul. And I write this stuff down. Paul admitted that he is a flawed man. Okay? And sometimes people look at the flaws of the writers of the Bible, and they sit there and say, well, why should I believe what he wrote down? Well, because God included it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay? And if you want to get super technical, yes, that does refer to the Old Testament. Okay, but Peter also gave credence to what was writing. He says, look, Paul, when he writes some very heavy stuff. Okay, this is all a paraphrase. And I'm assuming that all y'all know this stuff. I mean, I've been in church. I can't use that line. I've been in church a little time, and I know that everybody's been in church longer than I have. When I first started teaching, it was like that was the truth. Okay, sometimes I still use that line, but it's not true anymore. I've been saved since 78, 77. So that's a long time. I haven't been in church all that time. Haven't left, except when I was sick last year, you know, and had my surgery. Anyway, so it's one of those things that these things are written down for us to learn, for our profit, for our prosperity, for things that are good for us, both mentally, physically, and spiritually, and not only spiritually. Okay? Sometimes we just, well, it's the Bible, and, you know, oh, it's just a system of, you know, of suggestions that you can follow or not. It's more of a series of guidelines. It's the line from Pirates of the Caribbean about the Pirate's Code. It's just kind of like guidelines. We don't really have to follow them. No. God says, I write this stuff down so that way you can follow them. Okay? So that way you can be of the same mind of Christ. So that way you can have the same opinions of things that God has. How's that? God wants you to have his opinion in your thoughts and say, hey, well, this is not of God. How can you tell? Well, I've read the Bible and do the things, and it's not there. That's how we know the Apocrypha is false. That's how we know some of the teachings of today's Christianity, modern Christianity, postmodern Christianity. We know the evangelical movements and stuff like this. We all know this is false because it does not ring true. Okay? It does not have that testimony from the Holy Spirit within that this is true. And when you start questioning people that believe this other stuff, this modern-day stuff that's out there, you find out a lot of times they're not even saved. Well, do you believe in Jesus? Well, no, we don't have to believe in Jesus as our Savior, you know. Yeah, he was a good... Wait a minute. You call yourself a Christian, which means you're Christ-like, and you don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Wow. What did Philip the Evangelist tell the Ethiopian eunuch on the shores of the lake when the eunuch says, look, what keeps me from being baptized? Okay. Notice that the eunuch didn't say, why do I have to be baptized? Sometimes people get saved. They come forward. They want to join the church. Well, our rules, you got to be baptized correctly. Scriptural baptism, according to the scriptures, according to the way it was done and practiced. Well, why? The eunuch never did that. He said, sure. You taught me this thing about baptism before we even got to water. How come I can't be baptized here? Well, I'm sorry you can't be baptized here because it hasn't been approved and, you know, made holy water by the priest. And, you know, he hasn't done his incantations over it. And, you know, you ever see that in the movies? They sprinkle the holy water on an evil person and then they start burning. No, it's just water. I mean, it doesn't make it any less pure. It doesn't make it any less holy or separated, except for the fact that it's in a little laver on the side over here, or maybe it's down in front of some of the places, and they go, shh, 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 and you're done. You're pure. Nah. What prevents me from being baptized, being wholly dipped in this water here? And what was the response? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, yes, I believe Jesus. Oh, let's go down in the water and be baptized. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Rising, you know, dead, buried, rising with him, again, walking into this life. It's like, wow, that means stuff. It does. This is an example of purity. It's an example of being washed. And not like, you know, washed with the water of the Word, but washed on the inside by the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. Then we got over there, and I forgot why I went over there. Don't you hate that when you don't follow your own notes? Who's ever taught a class? Really, seriously, who's ever really taught a class? I know you have. Okay. Because unless you ever really taught a class, sometimes, I mean, you don't understand sometimes like that when you follow a rabbit down a hole, and it's like, I can't do that. Anyway, here I am. So the scriptures were given by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, And unless you're one of those who does not believe in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God was God who gave the scriptures, who gave the words to holy men. Men that had separated themselves to follow after God. Men whose lives were proven to be holy. Okay? And all these things are profitable for us. All these things are done for our edification. All these things are written down for us to learn of the mind of God, to have the same opinions of God, to know what it is that God loves and doesn't love. Okay. It's a sad fact that the modern day Christian, or the Christian movement, or churches, do not embrace that. Okay, because as the Bible says, we miss out when we don't. Okay. King Hezekiah gathered all these together. They were approved by God, written down, gathered together. And so still people come up and take the authors of the Bible and says, why do I have to follow that person? You know? It's been a trend. A couple years ago it was a trend. A lot of preachers would come up and run down the people that are in the Hall of Fame of Faith. From Abraham. Yeah, Abraham was human. He did some dumb stuff. Yeah, he did tell his sister, hey, when we're in Egypt, don't tell them that you're my brother, otherwise they'll kill me, or that you're my husband, otherwise, or that you're my wife. One of those. A, D, all of the above. And just tell them I'm your brother. Which, in a broader sense of the term, yeah, they were related. Okay, true. In reality, you are my brothers and sisters, in the flesh as well as in the spirit, because we only have one father, Abraham. All right. Adam. I knew it began with an A somewhere in there. I am nervous. I have, like I said, leading songs is different than teaching class. And so technically he told the truth, but in reality he didn't. Okay? We just love technicalities, don't we? But people run down Abraham. Preachers I've heard just sit there and denigrate his character. You can't do that. Why? Because what was the Bible's, what did God say about Abraham? This is my friend. How in the world do we dare to run down Abraham when God said, ooh, this is my friend. This is my friend Abraham. Who else in the Bible was called the friend of God? Who? Who else claims to be the friend of God? Yeah, there's a lot of yahoos out there that claim to be, I'm the friend of God. I'm, I got an inside track with God. I am this, I am that. But by their very words, they condemn themselves. They're not. Okay. So we got to be careful when we start writing down people, because people look at David. This is King David. Who the Bible, God has this testimony. This is a man after my own heart. And everything, even at the end of his life and everything he did, except the same with Bathsheba. It's like, man, how dare we run these people down? Well, because, they were just human and we don't need to follow every word they say because, they just didn't, What? Solomon, chosen of God. In 1 Kings 11, don't turn there yet. Yeah, it is 1 Kings 11. I wish I could read my own writing sometimes. God appears before Solomon after Solomon is established as king, and he says, ask what you want and I'll give it to you. Which one of us has God done to that? Which one of these people out here on the earth has God has done that to? Oh, well, if you listen to some people, well, God appeared at my foot of my bed and we have a good long conversation about stuff. No, I don't think so. Number one, every time somebody is met with a higher power, an angel, first thing they did was dive face first into the ground. If that didn't cause you to dive face first into the ground, you did not meet with even an angel of God. You might have met with an angel of the devil, an angel of Satan, but you did not meet with an angel of God. Because the first thing you're going to do is humble yourself. Lay prostrate. Why? Because, man, I am in the presence of holiness. And I tell you, for evil people to be in the presence of holiness, they cannot stand it. Okay? They cannot stand it. Solomon. Yes, he was human. We see his life through the three books of the Bible, the Song of Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon, and the book of Ecclesiastes. As you start reading these three books, the first one you see in Song of Solomon is the exuberance of youth and love and passion. Okay? Remember when you were first saved? Okay? Okay, well, I was 45, 50 when I was saved. I wasn't really young, but you were young in the faith. You were a child of God. And there was an exuberance there. I got saved when I was 17, man. The exuberance was there, wasn't it? For years it was there, man. I'm just happy to be saved. I'm just happy to be here in God's services. Pastor said, oh, now you got to be baptized. Okay. I didn't know any better. Well, if I knew some better, I should have asked him a couple of ecumenical questions. You know, like, why is baptism important? Why should I be baptized? I mean, I wasn't sprinkled as a child in the Methodist Church. My brother was, and so when he joined the Catholic Church, he was looking for, you know, that, oh, I was already sprinkled. I got lost somewhere in there. And it's like, wow, let's go ahead. Let's go for it. The eunuch, hey, let's go for it. You know, all the people that come down, you know, let's go for it. And John the Baptist knew better. He says, look, you guys are hypocrites. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other sects that were up with those guys, they didn't see with their life what was going on with their eyes, with their spiritual eyes. And so John says, look, you bring forth fruits that prove that you're saved, that you have repented, that you have changed, that you've been changed on the inside. Maybe not so much on the outside yet, but it's going to happen. But first, nothing changed in their life. Let's turn to 1 Kings. Let's go 1 Kings chapter 14. This is going to fall and it's going to be a mess. And I forgot to empty my Bible. 1 Kings. Okay, it's in here somewhere. I know because I read it there. What chapter did I say? 11? Huh? Okay, 11. What was I thinking? Well, I'm wrong. It's chapter 11. No, wait a minute. That's not it. You ever do that? Because this is later. Yeah. But this is the later part where King Solomon had all these foreign wives. Oh my goodness, I don't have it written down. Where Solomon is asked. Asking what I give you. It's somewhere in the Kings. What's that? Chapter 3. This thing's making noise. 5. Yep. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give thee? Yesterday, had you asked? I didn't check the thing today, but if that question had come down to most people, they said, oh, I want a lottery ticket. I want the winning lottery ticket. $1.5 billion. Ooh. And your take home on that, if you choose the lump sum, is $800 million. Well, when you go 1.5 to 800 million, it's like, man, I feel cheated. I feel cheated by, you know, half a billion dollars. It's like, wait a minute, you're still not going to be able to spend all of it in your lifetime. Anyway, that's beside the point. Ask, what shall I give thee? What a question, man. I'm astounded, though, that God would ask any person, any man, any human, that question. And this is where you got to come to the point that you meditate on God's word and you see little stuff like this and you meditate. It's like, wow, Solomon must have been different. I mean, there's something about Solomon and a young man, he's about 20 years old at this time. And it's like, what made him different? I don't know. Okay. Something in Solomon, he determined to follow after God. He determined to follow after David when David was a young man. And he was writing all the Psalms out in the middle of the middle of the desert watching sheep. Tending the sheep of God. He listened to the testimonies of other people who said, I remember when David came into the battle scene, he was just a little kid, probably about that tall. It's like I remember some of the younger boys here, Paul and Peter and Simon. Man, they were just little guys. And now I'm like, wow. And I remember he came in and he said, I'll go. When the giant came out and said, who is there that's going to come out against me to defend you Israelites? Everybody else says, who? Not me. David was the only one who didn't step back. He stepped forward. And on his way out to there, he got 5 stones. I don't know if he was still carrying his bag of stones for his sling. He carried a sling all the time. He's a shepherd. You get used to carrying your rifle when you're out in the woods. I mean, or a gun or something. That was his defense. He told King Saul, Saul, look, I killed a lion and a bear with this little sling here. Now, I don't know about you. Anybody ever seen a bear face to face? Besides, you know, being a glass enclosure or, you know, claw. I remember, went hunting once. My buddy shot a bear, okay? And I got the rifle up there just in case he wounded it. Because I'm from the city, okay? Los Angeles. You heard all these stories about bear attacks and stuff like that with a wounded bear. So I'm here, ready for the follow-up shot. So he shoots, and the brush just starts shaking there, and it's like, whoa! Then all of a sudden, this paw comes up like this, and it disappears. And it's like, whoa! My first thought in my head was, my rifle is too small. I got 5 shots at 30-06 with 180 grains, you know, 2,800 feet per second. Whoa! My rifle is too small. And it was quiet. Dead quiet. And I'm going, wow. What does that mean? I don't know. Did you get it? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, the grass was up like this, and I saw the silhouette, and I think I got it. You shot the... What? It's like, oh, my God. Okay. He says, okay, you stay here. And he was going to go up and around. And so I didn't even hear him or see him. And then pretty soon he's popping up there and he's poking the bear. It was dead. Okay, so it was only like 50 yards up the hill from me. And it's like, man. So can you imagine with a little sling and a stone, just a little rock? David says, I'm here to protect sheep. And the sheep don't care. They don't care if the shepherd gives his life to protect them. They don't care. All they care about is 2 things. Food and water. And they're not about to go out and get that on their own. They got to have a shepherd to lead them, to guide them, to bring them into the right paths. Funny how David knew that, didn't he? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He knew that stuff. Anyway. So, with that as a story, says, this was my dad. How about Solomon saying, this was my dad that did that. This is my dad who went in with this stone, with this sling, and killed Goliath. I'm 6 foot. Goliath is like a little taller than that. He had a spear and stuff that weighed tremendous amounts. No human could do that. No regular, ordinary human could do that. And yet here's David, and he says he just didn't, you know, creep up slowly. He ran. He hasted. He ran towards Solomon, whack, and bang. Hit Goliath in between the eyes. And then Goliath, you know. By the way, Goliath wasn't the only one out there on the battlefield. It says Goliath had somebody to carry a shield. So here's this big old guy. He's got a tank in front of him, an armor bearer, you know, and there's David with his little, you know, shepherd's outfit costume going out there. Just whack, killed him. Solomon is hearing stories of that when he grew up. That was my dad. That was my dad. He's now written in the Bible, in the scriptures. He's now, you know, testified about and sung about. We sing some of his psalms as we come into the temple. My dad did that. Don't you think that might change him? Or cause him to grow up differently than other kids? Sorry, I hear. Am I the only one hearing that? Okay, good. Good. So there he is, man. Something changing in Solomon. Then we know the rest of the story for David. David had that testimony. I imagine Nathan the prophet told Solomon and said, look, your dad was a man after God's own heart. This is God's testimony, even toward the end of his life. You know, and imagine Nathan taught Solomon some pretty good story things too, about the depths of the Word of God, about the depths of the Bible, about the holy men of God who moved as they were spake by the Holy Ghost. It caused a difference in Solomon. And so when God sat here and said, hey, ask, and I'll give it to you. Man, how many of us would have to pause about, you know, a day and a half to think about that? Wow. It's like having a genie with one wish. What am I going to ask of God? What am I going to request? What is it? I mean, because probably some things are running through your mind. These things run, well, if I ask the wrong thing, you know, God's not going to answer. He'll be upset with me. If I ask the right thing, well, you know, I don't want to know. You just equivocate. What am I going to ask? It does not give any indication that Solomon had to think about this. Okay? Usually, stuff like that, there's indication, hang on, God, I'll get back to you in just a sec. He says, Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Yeah, there's a lot of eyes in that. And everybody say, oh, he said, I this, I that. Well, you know, what did he do? He admitted, I don't know a thing, God. I am a wretched man, and without your mercy, I am still a wretched man. Okay? Even though that my father was king, that you made him king, you made him king. He didn't make himself king, you made him king. You're the one that he went with. You're the one that he did all his great things for and about, with your power. You're what my father was about. And who am I that you have chosen me? Something that we should ask ourselves sometimes. Who am I that you have chosen me? Who am I that I should be able to... And for this, when they first asked me to teach, I'd probably only saved a year. And I was like, isn't that a little soon? I don't know. And it's like, who am I? I can't do this. I don't know nothing. For years I used that excuse. I don't know nothing. Well, study that. Duh. If you don't know it, find it out. If you don't know about things, study. The Bible tells us that. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Ah, well, son of a gun. Who knew? But yes, says, he told God, first of all, I am nobody. I'm a poor, wretched man. I have no knowledge. What I ask of you, God, is wisdom. An understanding heart. Didn't really say wisdom per se, but he said an understanding heart. I want to know what's going on. I want to understand the situations. I want to understand this thing that you've given. And I want to be able to tell others, to be able to judge rightly, to be able to do your will here, to be able to live, to lead your people. Something I think that every pastor should have with him. Read this, try to understand it, and say, look, I don't know nothing. Pastors and teachers, too, because I know teachers. Who sometimes, I know more than a pastor does. Well, we had the testimony of one man, hey, I can read the book. I know as much as pastor does. It's like, yeah, I don't think so. Because your life and heart is not given over. There's a difference in the heart added to that knowledge, added to that intelligence. There's a difference. This is all I'm asking, God. Because who is able to be judge? Who is able to judge thy people? Not only that, God, in the flesh I am here, people see me judging them, I am taking your place. How's that for another thought? I am taking your place here. And it's like, oh man. In the New Testament, there's a thing where Jesus is telling the people, look, if you lead a little one astray, teach them the wrong things, it would be better for you than a millstone. A millstone was a couple ton stone that they used to grind corn, wheat, into flour. Okay? It would be better for you if a millstone was hung around your neck and you were cast into the deepest, most part of the seas. Over 7 miles. And it's dark and cold and lonely down there. Pretty soon the fish will start eating your body. It's like, ugh. Man, that's a serious thing. Why? Because when you presume to sit in front of people and teach, you better be doing it right. Because the first judge, yeah, the people are going to sit there, well, He doesn't speak well. You know, I know I don't speak well. You know, he doesn't say the right things. Yeah, I know I don't say the right things sometimes. I trip over my mouth. I'm human. Yeah, I know. But the first person that's going to say something is, you're leading my little ones astray. Be careful how you teach. Oh, that even goes to teaching your children. Because God says, I gave you children that you can teach them my ways. That you, when they stand up and ask you, why are we doing all this stuff? You have an answer to teach them. It's because of God and the love of God and the peace of God and the harmony of God. It's because of all the loving kindness of God and the mercies of God that we do these things. Too many Christian parents have forsaken that. They don't know why they do this stuff. Why? Because they haven't opened the book to bother to find out. They haven't searched the scriptures. They will read their Sunday school book. The ABA had a Sunday school book. I laugh at this now because it's like, well, that was, I better not say it. Anyway, all the adults in the had a Sunday school book. Okay. All they did was read out of the Sunday school book. The teacher's book had a couple of questions, had to think some things to it, but it wasn't really in-depth. It was like, you know, here, we're going to feed you some milk while you're in Sunday school in the adult class. I hope that I have done more than just milk. That it's getting to be meat, strong meat, stuff for you to grow. Because I read this stuff in the Bible and I say, man, I'm the teacher. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, this is the teacher that's teaching the people. Yeah, it is. So he says, Solomon asks wisdom, and God says, hey, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's just, to me, that all the hectic All the activity that happened a couple of days before, all the, you know, thousands of offerings and all the people singing and all this stuff, and it's at night, and in a dream this happens. It's a nice quiet time, and then you read that, and this saying pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this stuff. And he says, Solomon, because you haven't asked just for yourself, but you've asked for my people, basically my will to be done in your life, I'm going to give you all that and a bag of chips and more. I am going to give you riches. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you all this stuff that I will understand. I will give you the understanding that you're looking for. And there will be none like thee before thee, and neither after you there thee shall any arise like unto thee. Solomon is promised to be the most different man on the face of the earth ever. The most wisest man on the face of the earth ever. The most profitable, the best man ever. I mean, people want to say, oh, this person has more knowledge than Solomon. This person is pretty smart and this person is pretty wise. No, God made this problem. There was none like you before here and there's none like you after this. So Solomon is somebody we should pay attention to. Okay. We're going to go ahead and quit here. Yeah, I could go on and on and on. And then after this, that I've reestablished Solomon being the writer, and that Solomon having the authority, and that Solomon having the opportunity, and that Solomon is somebody that we should listen to, we're going to do a review. Okay. I'm going to take a couple of the verses out of the chapters that we've gone so far and bring them forward back into our mind. It just seems like we should do that at this point in time. So, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for all things you have given and provided. Father, I pray and ask, Lord, you just give us that ear to hear this morning your words. Father, Lord, that you give us that portion of the Holy Spirit that resides within us, Father, would resonate and testify and witness to us, Father, of the Word of God and Father, of your word and your will, and Father, that today we may have services that give you honor and glory. Father, we thank you, Lord, in all things we pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.